Hello there, it's the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Welcome.
Hey.
You got your water? Let's kick it right off with a big glass of water. You know the rules. If you're listening to the James Arnold Taylor Podcast, hello, welcome. It's nice to see you. And you need to hydrate. You need to deep breathe. You need to relax and go, I'm in a good spot right now. I'm going to be entertained for a little while. I'm going to take in a little of James's life and the people he's talking to, as I'm talking to somebody today, as you'll hear. And everything's cool. We are here at the Jatt Fellowship. We are here to relax. Let's drink some water. Hey, Mr. Announcer Guy, do that. Yep, there you go.
It's time to drink some water. That's good water.
That is good water. Welcome to the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Hey, Mr. Announcer Guy, while you're here, why don't you just introduce the show real quick?
Yeah, man, totally. Cue that music, Jerry the Music Man.
You got it, Mr. Announcer Guy. And away we go.
Ooh, he's getting fancy.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Talking to myself, the Jattcast Man. On today's show, Jatt interviews his good friend, Tom Wilson. And now, here he is, the same guy that's doing all the voices you're hearing, including this one, James Arnold Taylor!
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to hear Tom.
Okay, so here's the deal. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of doing a Comic-Con with my good friend Tom Wilson, and he said, you should have me on your podcast. I love doing my Tom Wilson impression. I know he probably hates that, but you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery and all that.
He said, James, I would love to be on your podcast.
I said, oh, well, that's great, Tom. So Tom is going to be on the show here. I've broken it into two parts, as I've been doing with the interviews, because, you know, we talk for a long time, and then I like to kind of put it all together and give you some perspective and make the show not too long. So for you now today, part one of my time with my dear friend, Tom Wilson, the actor extraordinaire, artist. He's an author, he's a producer. Now he's a producer, director, editor of his own new documentary that he made that is on YouTube. We're going to talk about it there in the interview. But he made this, and we recorded this when it had just come out. It had come out like a week before. And within a week, he had over 50,000 views on this thing. It is fantastic. It's about an hour long. Go to Tom Wilson's YouTube channel, find him, and watch it. Of course, I'm sure all of you know, because I've interviewed Tom before on my YouTube channel and such. Tom is an incredibly talented actor, but most notably known as the character of Biff from Back to the Future. And that's what his documentary is kind of spells out, kind of his time working in Back to the Future and stuff. Tom and I don't really talk about Back to the Future much when we are together, if at all. We've been friends for probably about 20 years or so now, maybe a little longer. And we never talk about Back to the Future because we're two actors that are hired to do jobs on things, and we love acting. And so that's kind of what our thing has always been. Plus, art has been our thing. So in this, we actually talk a bit about his time working in Back to the Future because it's very pertinent to the conversation right now because he just made this documentary film, humbly super famous, I think. And I want you all to see it, but I want you to listen to this interview with Tom. I'm sure many of you have already seen the documentary on his YouTube channel, but if not, check it out. And check out this now, part one of my time with my dear, dear friend, Tom Wilson, on the James Arnold Taylor Podcast. Enjoy.
I'm an open book. I don't care. Do your thing. Make it yours.
Okay. No, we're just going to have fun. We're going to catch up a little here and on the show rather than just when we catch up.
Okay.
Just you and me, I guess.
All right. Are you starting or are you going to count it down? Or do you say, like, we're on now, Tom? Whatever you say lives forever? Or what do you do?
What would you like? Would you like a, we're on now, Tom, we're rolling, and like a big buildup, and then, you know, and we're rolling in 3, 2... And then I don't say anything because you assume that the one is there, but it's silent. Do you want something like that? Fancy?
I don't care.
I'm rolling. I'm rolling.
Oh, you're rolling
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'm rolling now.
So this is on the podcast. This will be on it or?
This will be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is it. If you want it to be. Unless you don't. You want me to. I'll cut anything you want me to cut out.
Yeah, why don't we cut this whole thing up? Because I hear people tuning this out. I hear people flipping off their earbuds.
Flipping them off? Like flipping the bird to
literally
them?
Flipping them off.
Flipping
giving them,
off. Them
the bird and then turning them off.
Saying, why am I bothering with this stupid show?
Hey, folks, everybody. Tom Wilson here, host of the James Arnold Taylor podcast, talking to myself. This one is unusual in that I'm talking to James this time, so I don't think we should change the title to talking to Tom talking to James, although that if
I
you
like
want
that.
A viewership, yeah, you want a viewership, that's my suggestion.
Well, sure, you got to be exact with it. So now are you going to do some voices then? Because usually at the beginning of the show, I like do a little preamble with my characters and I talk to my characters.
Oh,
do you have your own
characters?
It's so
wonderful, James. You're so fantastic at it. I couldn't even, let me try. Hey, I'm James. I work in James' office as the office man. Oh, good. What's your name? Big Johnny. Oh, Big okay, John. Big Johnny. You see? The king of improvisation.
You are. Well, I've always said that. I've always said that about you. And that is beautiful. Okay. And then, like, you have anybody else, like the director?
I'm the director.
Yeah. Okay.
My name is Flippy McPherson. Okay. And I wear a down vest and a baseball cap, just like every other director trying to pretend they're Steven Spielberg in 1981.
And do you have a goatee?
If Spielberg does, I do.
Okay. All right. I like that, Flippy. Okay, Flippy. Well, I would like to talk to Tom now, Flippy, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, Tom. It's very easy to, yeah. No, no. The amazing thing is, James, that was me.
That was you.
That was me. No, that was not actual characters, actual people. No, those were characters that I came up off, just the top of my head. Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. Sometimes it's scary for people that it's so real, that it's such a different, I could swear that there was a director, but no,
it's immersive,
it was me.
Is what it is. It's immersive. And anytime I have time with you, Tom Wilson, it is an immersive experience, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, people find two immersive experiences in their lives, swimming and being around me.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. You know, it's been a while. I did a show called The Jat Show, a video show on my YouTube, and you were the first guest, and I only did two episodes, so you were kind of like, it was, amazing.
I actually opened and closed your show. And I only hope, James, that this is a barn burner of a podcast that's just bite your nails excitement as it was on The Jat Show.
You know, the thing about the whole podcast with me is you started it all, really, because years ago you had your podcast, Big Pop Fun, and then you asked me to be a guest, and I was a guest on it a couple times. And then you asked me to sit in for you. Like Jay Leno would, or other people, you said David Steinbrenner, I think.
When I see you, I thought Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers on The Tonight Show.
Just because when I see you, I think Joan Rivers.
Sure you do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a compliment. Probably not. Okay. But so you really were the reason for me to be inspired to podcast, but you're the reason to inspire me to do anything. Whether it's painting or acting or anything.
Oh,
see? Look at this.
It's very kind of you,
building
James.
You up.
I came on early in the podcast thing.
Yep.
The interesting thing about podcast is that you've done very well, which is a certain transparency about your life, which I think audiences now are demanding, especially in an intimate situation like a podcast, where we're talking to people really through their earbuds, in their car, as they do the things in life. So it was, I was early on in it, but the Nerdist Network took me on.
They loved you.
They loved me for a while, but but then it just wasn't for me because I'm good at talking about my life and making a story about this, but I'm not necessarily comfortable with it.
Ah. Oh, see, that's interesting because there is a big disparity between those then, isn't it? But I don't think we think of that. You could be really good at something, but it doesn't mean you feel comfortable in your own skin doing it.
Right. Consistently being self-revelatory in a way that is uncomfortable. Now, that makes for great art, right?
Sure.
That, you know, you have to show yourself. But to be showing yourself in private, personal ways every week, over and over and over and over, was something that I just I don't think I was good at. It made me uncomfortable, and I just wasn't very good at it.
Well, I'll say you were good at it because I listened and I loved it, but you weren't comfortable with it. But I think people enjoyed it. You did over 100 episodes, which is admirable. I've still not even done over 100 episodes. I've been doing this show for years because I take a break and I come back and then I take a break. But you did over 100 episodes, Tom Wilson. That's amazing.
Yeah, I worked hard at it for a long time.
Yeah.
Ultimately, for me, podcasting, well, look, James, this was back when I was not working a lot, when I was working, I was traveling all over the country performing stand-up comedy.
Right.
I had written a book. So at that time, everything had to earn its keep at the table, you know, by bringing in money. And the podcasting, I was finding just by my podcast audience wasn't the kind of people that would go and buy a ticket to me to see me perform or buy my book or whatever. So ultimately, it was like, this is very high work.
Yeah.
But very low literal payoff because I had four children and I had to use my time to like whatever I'm doing, it has to be, you know, buying Franken beans.
That's true. I think people forget that about celebrity. And it leads me to something I want to talk about, which is a video you released on YouTube. But I'll just say before we get to that, people do forget that we're all just workaday actors. We're all just regular folks. And we are all still trying to just provide a living for our families who are our real kind of world. This is the fantasy world that we get to live in and play in on a regular basis. We're very blessed to do it. But that's not our day-to-day when we wake up. So is that a fair assessment?
I think it's fair, yes. I think it's fair. I think the thing about being an artist in the ways that we are is it is really interesting and exciting and fun and really difficult.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do when you decide, not only do I think I have a talent at this, at acting, at writing, at stand-up comedy, but I'm going to not go work at Home Depot or Trader Joe's. I am going to do this to make money, to buy food and a roof over my, you know, all of the gas that goes in my car comes out of funny stuff and acting stuff and everything. And that's hard. As everyone knows, look, making a living in any way is hard.
Yeah.
So, but when you decide to do it by performing, by writing, by doing the kinds of things that I have done in my career, hey, you know, you better get up in the morning and go work.
Yeah. And sometimes you're not excited to do that. When it's just like anything. I think everybody thinks everything we do, we're excited and thrilled because it's exciting, it's glamorous. And some days you're like, I don't want to get up at 4 a.m. to go work on a Soderbergh movie, which, I mean, you've had the honor of doing those things, but at the same time, that's a grind. And then be away from my family and all of these things, right?
Right, because you have to work. You know, that's why they call it work.
Work. It's actually work.
You have to get up and feel, yes, oh, I would love to wake up at 9:30 and sort of putter around, maybe go to a coffee place and just kind of talk about ideas.
Yeah.
And talk about, I'm thinking of doing a movie like this. Well, those guys, I don't, you know, either they've done very well in the stock market or daddy's picking up the tab or something. Because I was always like, guys, I just don't have the time to do that because I have to go work.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Well, so, okay. I am really, really excited about what you did this last, this has been about a week now. You released another video. You've had a successful YouTube channel for many years, and you put stuff out, and you were putting things, like you and I, we do this. We go and have lunch, and we talk about it. Should I make a video? I'm going to make a video. I'm not going to make it. I'll put a video out. I'll just do it. And then you put these videos out, and you'll be like, James, I put a video out. Yeah, take a look if you want. I don't think it's great. And then I'll watch it and I'm crying, you know? Or I'll be like, Tom, this was amazing. You are a true artist in every sense. You're a photographer, you're a painter and all of that. All of that comes through when you shoot a video and you put it up on your YouTube channel. I don't think you realize that, but the artistry that's in it, in your composition of shot and everything, but then what you're doing as a storyteller, and you did a documentary, and you know, it's crazy. You put this documentary out on your YouTube channel for free. Everybody can see it. It's got, I think, probably 50,000 views right now within a week. And it's just a brutally honest look at you. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's a very fair assessment.
Okay.
I just tried to be an open book about something that is very, I mean, it's specific to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very personal to me. And honestly, I made it for people to enjoy. I hope they enjoy it and find it interesting. Seems like they certainly have.
Yeah.
But really, I've made it for my my children and grandchildren. I've made it for my grandchildren 35, 40 years from now because they might, some of them, might be interested in their grandfather who was like, well, he was in that. I know it was a big movie, Back to the Future, and he was an actor in the movies and all that. But I'm not sure. Well, they can watch this.
Yeah.
And see me being as honest as I can be about it, trying to make it into a piece of art. You know, yeah. I used YouTube and all of the social media, as all performers do,
yeah,
to try to sell a ticket to a show,
mm-hmm,
to try to sell a book, to try to get people interested in me, casting me in a movie, and right, whatever. So I was very early on. My video on the Back to the Future song, the Question song.
Yeah.
Was one of the earliest YouTube viral videos.
Yep.
And I was doing videos back then. It was a slice of life video. It was like vlogging, but
yeah,
it was very stand-up comedy centric. It was me going to the club. It was me bringing the camera out onto the stage,
right?
Because in the videos I sort, you know, to a great degree in vlogging, I was saying, "Hey, I'm sort of a funny guy out there. I know you know me from that Back to the Future movie, but I'm also available coming to your city to do a show. So come out and buy a ticket and everything."
Right.
So I didn't find that successful, but I did it for a number of years, making a lot of videos that you can find on YouTube. Then the lockdown happened, and like so many people, I was out of kind of everything, James. I was out of job.
Yeah.
I was out of show business, it felt like. So I just started doing a little more personal videos, sharing parts of my life, you know? What happens after you quit showbiz?
Yeah.
This particular one began at the Improv in LA. I just wrote out, I was talking to some people, and I described my own fame, you know, because they're saying, oh, you're in movies, you're famous. And I said, well, no, not really. I'm famous, but I'm too famous because of Back to the Future, but I'm not famous enough because I wasn't Michael J. Fox in my, so it's this weird state that I'm in where I'm famous and too famous and not famous enough all at the same time, all in front of everybody, wherever I go. So I said, that's interesting. So I wrote down on like loose leaf paper, with a pen, just wrote it out. I'm famous and I'm famous, and trying to describe what I mean by that.
Right.
That night I brought it to the Improv on Melrose in LA. I opened my show with it, literally reading it off the loose leaf paper.
Wow.
While I signed headshots from Back to the Future, you know, promo shots with a Sharpie.
Yeah.
And while I was reading this thing on loose leaf paper, I was just signing these photos and throwing them into the audience. It bombed.
It
bombed like nothing I can ever. I mean,
get out
it
of
was
here.
Like,
no,
it was.
I don't remember. Did it really bomb?
Well, it was complete silence.
Oh.
But here's the thing. So I'm 2/3 of the way through, and I think, oh well, I thought it was interesting, but bomb-o. Okay, forget it. So I go all the way through it, and at the end, it got zero laughs, and at the end, it got applause.
Ah.
Applause.
Okay.
And the comedian Patton Oswalt was on the show, and he came up, and a couple of the comics came up. Boy, that thing was interesting that you said. You know, it wasn't funny, but it was really good. So that became the basis of a thing that you read of a few years ago now, but that you read of a series of monologues about being that guy from The Thing, about playing Biff and Griff and Buford Mad Dog Tannen in all of the Back to the Future movies, and what that has, what it's meant to me, what it's done to me,
right?
Interesting aspects of being that famous guy from The Thing.
Wow, and it is on your YouTube now. I highly suggest that everybody listening go and watch it. It's an hour. It's beautiful. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. It will make you think. And hopefully it'll make you look at celebrity and people in the public eye a little differently. And I think that that's why it's a very brave thing in that regard, because you say things that I think a lot of us want to say but can't say, or feel we can't say, I should say.
I've been fascinated, James, in the very, very powerful reaction of the general audience.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends in Hollywood, actors and stuff, that I said, hey, you might watch this. I've received zero reaction so far.
Zero reaction.
Zero. Except a couple. Mark McClure.
Yeah.
Mark McClure played Jimmy Olsen.
Right.
In the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve. Yeah. He played Dave McFly in the Back to the Future movies, Marty McFly's brother, and all this. And Mark is in a lot of that same position that I am.
Yeah.
Of being this sort of famous guy, but sort of not famous.
Yeah.
Not famous enough. And yeah, he just texted me and just said, "You have explained the unexplainable."
Yeah, yes. You know,
I have to take a walk in the desert to take this in.
Yeah, I would agree with Mark. I think that's great. But, you know, the other thing to remember, the other sideline of this that is not in yours because you're not one of these people, is most people in showbiz are very self-centric. And so whenever I say, like, I did a movie this last year, and I'll send it out, and people will be like, "Oh yeah," and then they don't watch it, or they, you know, they say they watched it, and then they get in a conversation with you or whatever. And so I think if you send this, maybe people just haven't even seen it yet. You know, that's the other
maybe
thing.
That might be so many of those things. You get it. You know, I can only imagine the eyeball rolls that I must get with texts that I send and things that I send to people. So yeah, maybe they're putting it off. I think though it's very personal. It cuts very close to the bone.
Yeah,
it's very honest about the situation that I find myself in. My children are in it.
You tell some very personal stories. I mean, well, you tell the most personal of personal stories, because you talk about the loss of your mother and the experience you had immediately thereafter. I don't want to give anything away, but the amount of personal things, and then your family, your children speaking, by the way,
well, I can tell the people that, yes, that my mother, I was in the room and my mother had died, and everyone left the room eventually, and I was there with the body of Mom, and I'm praying for Mom. I'm having a quiet moment with Mom, and the nurse comes in. Anyway, to make a long story short, the nurse has to mention Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like, "You're that guy from Back to the Future, right?"
Yeah.
And so many people are up in arms about that scene. And so how dare someone? And of course, a part of me telling that story is kind of how dare someone. But really, the impetus for me telling that story is, this is how powerful our screens are.
Yes. That is the point. Because, you know, obviously, you wrote an amazing book, The Masked Man. But I think that what you really got to touch on in this video, and the way that you did it, if somebody's really paying attention, they're going to see that you're saying, this is the power that is beyond us with this technology, with the zeitgeist, everything being out there in there, is that it's beyond this person that was saying these things that shouldn't have been saying. They can't help themselves.
Right. That's the point, is they can't help themselves. It is something that is more powerful than the human being has the power to fight off.
Right.
The ideas of fame. And of course, fame has always been something to deal with from all people. I mean, Meriwether Lewis of the Lewis and Clark expeditions in the early 1800s, one of Thomas Jefferson's friends, ended up killing himself because he was the guy from the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Right.
You know, so people have been dealing with fame in unhealthy ways, of course, like that,
yep,
for many, many, many generations.
So yeah,
and
yeah,
instead of getting, you know, I mean, look, people get drunk about it.
Yeah.
People get on drugs about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have to be careful about how we say these things over the internet.
Right.
So, but you know what I'm saying when I'm saying they unalive themselves.
Yes.
Right? That's what people are saying now. They lose their lives in this way, yeah, when they're too famous.
Yeah.
They lose their lives in this way when they're not famous enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a powerful longing,
mm-hmm,
for simply being known.
Yeah.
That it's beyond comprehension.
So that's the question, because I think that you may not feel you do, but I feel you have somewhat of the answers of that just by how you've lived your life over the last, you know, 3-4 decades of dealing with this. Is how do we deal with celebrity and such? And what I see in you as your friend for 20 plus years now is you're just a real human being. You have family first and your faith and your friends. And I know those things may sound cliched or phony or you know what I mean, the kitschy answer. But the truth is that's how you live, is you just live. And then you go, oh yeah, this is a thing I do.
They're not cliched and phony at all, because, yeah, because they're real. They're real. They're solid.
Mm-hmm.
They're solid as rock. Very early. So, okay, in the 80s, 1985, Back to the Future comes out.
Yeah.
It's the kind of a hit that's beyond other hits.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it comes out and we're on the cover of Time magazine,
yeah,
with Steven Spielberg. You know, my parents were like, I was out in my first movie and there's a photo of me in this story about Steven Spielberg and this movie in Time magazine and everything. And you're like, wow, wow.
Yeah.
But within a relatively brief period of time,
yeah,
I had to figure out coping mechanisms,
mm-hmm,
because it's unusual,
mm-hmm,
and it's not necessarily good.
Yeah,
all that attention.
Yeah.
So I had to begin figuring out what to do. But then it was after the sequels came out, and I knew that not only that,
mm-hmm,
but this is going to be the only thing that I'm known for,
yeah,
because the stand-up comedy audience has really very little interest in listening to me talk.
Yeah.
They want me to talk about Back to the Future.
Right.
They don't want to hear me tell a story about this or that within stand-up comedy terms. They want to hear about Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
So I won't kid around with you, James.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while there, yeah, I wasn't in a good place about it,
yeah,
you know? I wasn't just, oh, Mr. America. Oh, he has a Teflon exoskeleton.
Yeah.
And everything just wipes off him,
yeah,
because he believes in Jesus and because, yeah, he's nice to his mom and dad and all this stuff. No, I was having a really hard time.
Yeah.
Really very, very hard time because no one was hiring me for everything, because I would walk into the room,
yep,
and everyone would just go like, oh, the guy from the
it's
thing.
It's polarized. It's all of a
look,
sudden, yeah.
Look, Jim, yeah, it's the guy from the thing. Hey, what was it like to be a part of that thing?
Yeah.
You know, and this is in a room where I'm trying to audition for another role.
Yeah.
And before I even read for it, was Robert Zemeckis good to work with?
Yeah.
I mean, so when you make a movie that actually becomes a ride in a theme park, like,
yeah,
what does that feel like?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're right up that hill at Universal as we're talking right now, Tom. And you're like, can I read the scene?
Yeah,
would that be all right? Yeah, we'll get to that. But, I mean, what does that feel like? Because you're in a ride right now.
It's kind of like, as you're saying that, I think about the scene that you talk about in the documentary, where you and Crispin are reading a scene outside. And that was like your last moments of being an actor, getting to read a scene with another actor and experience.
Right. I made a painting of, and it's myself, it's a self-portrait of me as Biff,
mm-hmm,
with like an angel's halo,
yeah,
around.
I love that
Biff.
One.
And it's called The Holy Innocent because, and people are like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this painting, and I know it's that guy from the movie,
yeah,
but this painting is me on the set,
mm,
before we were finished making the movie.
Yeah.
Back when I felt like I was an actor.
Ah.
And I was acting a role in a movie that I was happy to be there, and
yeah,
I was working so hard, but I was innocent,
mm,
to what was about to happen.
Mm. That's really just tragic, you know?
Well, it is. It is. I mean, people don't have much patience when you talk about the tragedy and comedy within actual lives in show business, but it is true. But yeah. It is true. And as I said, for those of you, I mean, people lose their way mm-hmm. about this. Actors and a lot of and comedians that I know. And yeah. So I'm talking from a place of great experience in knowing so very, very many people. I mean, a lot, folks.
Yeah.
Who haven't made it to where we're standing now because it messes with your head that much.
Yeah.
It messes with your head. So back to that point when I'm confused and I'm upset and man, I can't even quit showbiz and go work at the grocery store because if right. I apply the grocery store, they're going to go, but you're the guy from the thing, you know? Yeah. I tried to be a writer in sitcoms and I'm a funny guy.
Yes,
I was a comedy writer for many people. And so I wrote these comedy, they call them spec scripts
yep.
for a show. And a couple of friends were writers there. And ultimately it comes back like, Tom, you are great. The scripts are funny and great. But here's the thing. Nobody can have you in the writer's room. We can't have you within the production of a sitcom because you're a movie star.
Yeah, they can't.
Because it's like, oh, it's the guy from the thing. It makes yep. everyone uncomfortable
yeah.
because you're like too famous to be there.
Yeah.
So we can't hire you.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff. Anyway, but here's the flip side. Here's the ray of light. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
It's one of the great things to ever happen to me because it shook me to my core in a way that a lot of people don't get. People get shaken financially, and I've been shaken in that way.
Sure.
But few people get shaken to actually their fundamental identity.
Mm.
And my fundamental identity was, I am a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a follower of Jesus.
Right.
I'm the son of my mother and father who are mm-hmm. great examples to me of kindness mm. and character. And that's how I've tried to live my life. And I think I make mistakes, but I think I'm doing okay
mm-hmm.
at being a man of character. And I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to come to a great, great level of confidence
mm.
in myself as an artist. Because if I make something, if I make anything now,
mm-hmm.
the first thing someone's going to say is, oh, you in that painting? Oh, you should put a DeLorean in there, like flying through the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and James, that's what they actually said.
Oh.
They would actually say that.
You know? Yeah.
Or coming onto the stage as a stand-up comedian,
yeah.
and I've got all these jokes and songs, and people just right off the bat, butthead from the
yeah.
audience.
Yeah.
So I had to come to a place of utter confidence in myself and my artistic core.
Yeah.
Confidence in my faith.
Yeah.
Confidence in my family, the love I have for my parents, my wife.
Yeah.
I was married at the time with two small children. Well, yeah. the first one, I didn't have children. But I was engaged mm. to Caroline.
Yeah.
You know, before the first movie.
Yeah.
I got engaged. I was working as a comedian and I was on, you know, commercials and
yep.
sitcoms and like, "Well, honey, let's get married. Will you marry me? But I'm sort of a bum and I don't know what this life
yep.
is going, you know." And
yep.
then it's like, "Dear God, if I'm supposed to stay in show business, something's got to happen because
yes.
I'm about to bail." And 2 weeks later, I got cast in Back to the Future.
Wow.
So I knew it was for a reason.
Uh-huh.
It's been an amazing adventure. It's been a costly adventure.
Yeah.
It's been, a worthwhile adventure. But there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
A lot to it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I talk too long for you.
No, you don't talk too long at all. I think that's the whole point.
I'm trying to unpack a complex thing.
Hey, we're going to stop the interview right there. That's a good stopping point. I would hope people would listen to this and understand that when we're talking about these things that we're talking about, some people could listen to this and go like, oh boy, boy, they really think a lot of themselves. The whole point of this is that we don't think that much of ourselves. We see the insanity of celebrity and the fact that people hold it up to this regard that is beyond any person. And that's kind of the whole point of what Tom was saying. So when you listen to that interview, when you listen to part two, I hope you keep in mind that when we're saying things like it's very difficult in these positions, we're not saying it like, oh, poor us. We're saying it like, isn't this a trip? Isn't this a weird, wacky world? And we know we're very blessed to get to do the things that we do and love the things that we do, but also that there are a lot of things that come along with it. There's a lot of baggage that comes along with being famous or with being almost famous. And so I hope that we're shedding some light on it. I hope you find Tom's candor enlightening, because I find it that way. I think it takes you off guard how honest he is about celebrity and dealing with it, because he's in an extremely, extremely unique position, as he said in this, of being this person that was in something that was so big, that was beyond him, and yet he can't really benefit from it other than to make people happy and say, yes, I was this, okay, and sign a DeLorean, as he would joke, or something. But there's really not a lot that can be done outside of that within his life and career, because the film Back to the Future was bigger than him. And that's basically what he's been saying. I'm repeating it all now. I'm fascinated by my friend Tom Wilson. Next time we will do part two. Come back and see me next week. And Mr. Announcer Guy, do that legal mumbo jumbo.
Talking to Myself, the James Arnold Taylor Podcast, is a production of Yumigo Inc., recorded at Chat Studios. Engineered, written, recorded, and produced by, you guessed it, James Arnold Taylor. All voices are parody and should be construed as entertainment only. All music and sound effects used with permissions and licenses through Backtracks, Digital Juice, Production Tracks, and Partners in Rhyme. James Arnold Taylor's Talking to Myself, the podcast. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
Thanks, dude. And thank you, Tom Wilson, for being my guest. Part two of my time with Tom is coming up next time on the James Arnold Taylor podcast. Goodbye.